It's Brunch with the Hollowells. Here's a quote from Sean.
On you, little man. I don't want to waste much time. You've been pushed around all your life. You've been pushed around by your mother and your sister and your brother. And if you were married, you'd be pushed around by your wife.
Oh, yes. This is two for two, bitch. That's Facilier.
It is Facilier.
I know that song. Oh, it's my jam.
He is such a cool villain. Like, I love the way he looks. I love the way he acts. He's so cool.
If in case anybody doesn't know, Dr. Facilier is from Princess and the Frog. And yes, he has a very cool style to him, but the voice actor creeps me out all the time. Ever since Requiem for a Dream, I can't look at the man the same anymore. But he does a lot of comedy, so it helps desensitize how he stunned me as a child the way he was. I don't know if you remember his character from Requiem.
No, which one was he?
So he was the guy who hosted those parties and having those women like...
Oh.
Yes, and it was just his creepy vibe around Jennifer Colony, and anybody who sodomizes her just can go straight to fucking hell. I hate them all. And I can't look at him the same, but Keith David is a wonderful voice actor, and yes, Facilier is the shit. Mm-hmm. That is my song. I love it. Hush! All right, welcome back, everyone. We have a great show for you today. We are doing episode 5, Witches in Tights. But before, we have some news to cover. Sean, tell everyone about what's been going on Patreon.
So I'm excited to announce that we have a new Patreon episode that came out a week or two ago, and it is Rob and I just toshing the shit back and forth about different witches and where we think the whole kind of power of three witch motif came from, and I think it's a great episode, and I had fun making it.
Yeah, so did I. Sean brought up the idea to do this, and yeah, it was interesting to look up, and I mean, I learned some stuff along the way, so hopefully you guys who are in the attic enjoy it. If anyone is interested, our bonus episodes are under the $3 tier, which I believe is the practitioner witch, and so yeah, think about joining. It's patreon.com/bwthpodcast, and give us a listen, see if you like the episode as well. We'll have more bonus episodes coming soon. Now, I actually wanted to read a couple of opinions and insights that we had from episode 3. This is the Happily Ever After episode. From one of our patrons in the attic, Bryce, so he said that he had an opinion about why Paige was so, like, standoffish to Grams. He says, my take on Paige's lukewarm reaction to Grams is that Grams is very pushy. Not in a mean way, but in an overbearing way. And it would be like if one of your parents were absent during your upbringing and one day they show up and they're just expecting you to automatically accept them without any conversation. I thought that was interesting. So what do you think about that, Sean?
That's a really good point. Yeah, Grams definitely has that, like, leader of the pack, like, kind of energy behind her. Like, even Patty seemed to kind of bow down to Grams' energy. So I could definitely see if Paige's foster grandmother, I guess you'd call her, was more demure. Yeah, that would definitely explain it.
Yeah. And Ryan Alteri from Twitter, so he says, and as an official and only member of Team Prue, according to Sean, I'm always happy to answer what would Prue do, which, by the way, we got some great responses from your answer, Sean. It was very insightful and impressive, by the way, on which fairy tale you gave her, so kudos to you.
Oh, thank you.
Of course. And in his honest opinion, she would have been in the Snow Queen fairy tale by HCA. That's also the story badly butchered and repackaged for Frozen. So I'm guessing there's like a sisterly thing with the whole Snow Queen thing. I'm guessing is, oh yeah, the Huntsman, right? Is that, I think that's what he's talking about, the with Emily Blunt, or if it's the, or if there's another Snow Queen story.
Yeah, the original Snow Queen story was she has this ice power. She goes up and lives alone, and she like is angry at all the villagers. So she sends flakes of ice into their eyes to like make them blind, I think, or something like. It's really dark, and like a lot of people got mad that Disney cleaned it up and made it like a nice story. But I like the nice story.
Okay, very cool. Well, yeah, no, thank you, Bryce and Ryan, for your insights and opinions on that episode. And again, if any Charmies out there want to share their opinion about the episode or what we've talked about, feel free to reach out to us, and maybe we'll read your opinion on the show. All right, so let's start our episode, Witches in Tights, episode 5 of season 5. This originally aired October 13th, 2002. It was written by David Straton and directed by Mark Wilding. Guest stars include Andrew James Allen as Kevin, Gary Becker as Ramus, Mark A. Shepard as Arnon, with David Pressman as Edward Miller, and Craig Young as Dave. This episode scored 5 million viewers.
Piper and Leo are scouting a rival club that is making inroads on P3. Right?
I'm sorry. This scene is amazing. Go ahead.
Piper thinks part of the problem might be that she's been too focused on her upcoming pregnancy. They spot a couple making out on a couch. It's Paige on her latest date. And Piper was, like, slut-shaming her own sister. Like, shame on her.
You get a room.
Right. And Paige is with a guy named Dave. And Piper is somewhat surprised to see Paige isn't at P3. But Dave wanted to check out the DJ. Piper gets another surprise. Phoebe is there also. Phoebe and Paige admit they didn't tell Piper of their plans because they thought all the noise wouldn't be good for their niece to be. But Piper thinks it's good for an expectant mother to get out at night. She walks away, and Phoebe and Paige wonder just how much they pissed Piper off.
Alicia Keys showed up at P3, so why would anyone else want to go to any other club in town? But, I mean, Sean, honestly, between the music that we've heard so far on that show versus this dancey, very house techno-like music, where are you going to go?
Well, and you said it yourself, like, P3 has cheese plates. That's a very specific clientele. And, like, nobody's ever dancing at P3.
Yeah, I mean, when they have live bands, you can definitely dance, but mostly you're just watching the act being played. It's just a different vibe that is not happening at this other club, which has a DJ. And, you know, dancers who are not taking off their, I don't know, it was funny, the dancers, they were like in bikinis, weren't they, if I remember correctly, or were they just in very sexy clothing?
I actually didn't notice.
I know, we're gay, we don't give a shit. I mean, I'm not looking at that either, but tell me the best thing ever was Leo dancing.
Right.
Next to a dude, I might add. He wasn't dancing with him, but there was two guys not dancing with anybody next to each other. I'm just saying.
That's always how it starts.
But yeah, Leo dancing was amazing. I don't know exactly what he was doing when they split up to kind of scope the place out, but him dancing and not, it just reminds me. It just reminds me of, did you find him? Find who? Oh, that was too funny. Okay, so you find out that Paige and Phoebe are at a different club. Is this a betrayal, or sometimes you just need to shake things up? What do you think?
I think what makes it a betrayal is the fact that they didn't tell Piper about it. I think they're allowed to go different places, but to not tell her, like, that makes it the betrayal.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care how stubborn Piper is. She definitely deserves to be not blindsided. And, you know, it just so happened she decided to scope out this club the night they were going. But I have a feeling that's not their first time going there.
Yeah, they seem pretty comfy, especially Paige on that couch.
Yeah. So Piper got weirded out that she didn't know that there was a Dave. Did you catch that remark? She was like, I didn't know there was a Dave. Like, is it really Paige's responsibility to sort of come forth with guys that she's been seeing? Is that a sisterly thing? I don't know, because, you know, my closest relative is 11 years away and he's straight. So is that a thing that you just normally just have the comfort, you know, being comfortable talking about that with your siblings all the time?
The way I am with my sister, like, we talk about that stuff, but not always right away. Like, if we're just starting to date someone, like, even the first few weeks, like, we may not mention it to each other until things get more, like, serious, you know?
That's what I figured, but, hey, those sisters have a different bond than I do, so.
Right, they live together, that's what it is.
That could be. In an alley, a teenage boy, Kevin, is drawing a tiger on a pad when a demon, Arnon, fades in. Kevin has the power to make objects he draws come alive, but hasn't had much luck making this tiger drawing come alive. With Arnon's encouragement, Kevin concentrates and brings the tiger to life. He doesn't know how to make it disappear, but Arnon takes the drawing and rips it, and the tiger disappears. So this particular power is called thought projection. Arnon tells Kevin that he needs to make a comic book character he's been working on as well. So later that night, Kevin heads home when he runs into a local thug, Kaz, who doesn't like anyone walking in on his work. Taking Kevin's pad, he sees a picture of Kevin knocking him down. Enraged, he punches Kevin to the ground and walks away. Kevin glances at a picture of the comic book character that he's been drawing. So there's a couple of things here. First, did you recognize Arnon, our demon of the week?
How dare you? Of course I did. He's Crowley from Supernatural.
Of course. Can you believe how Crowley looked back in the day?
I know. He looks so young.
I know. So crazy. Yeah. But it was nice seeing him. I can't say that I recognized him right away seeing him back in the day, but obviously as I got more familiar with Supernatural. So that makes, I guess, two very known actors from Supernatural coming on to Charmed at some point. You remember
Cass.
Cass, yes, exactly. Speaking of Kaz, did you recognize Kaz?
Wait, what?
Yes, our bully.
Oh, the little boy.
Our bully. No, that's Kevin. No, Kaz is the bully who just threw him down.
I didn't even pay attention to him. I'm going to have to pay attention now.
So Kaz is Ernie Reyes Jr., who was featured in such films as Surf Ninjas and Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of Ooze. He was our Asian martial arts expert / pizza delivery guy on Turtles. Do you remember him?
Okay, yeah, he just came on the screen. I recognize him now.
Okay.
I don't think I would have if you didn't tell me, though.
Well, he definitely was in very dark, horrible lighting. So who knows, unless you really remember. And back then, he had the longest, beautiful hair ever. In this one, I think he has a buzz cut.
Yeah, it's buzzed.
But yeah, I think that's the only time I've ever seen him outside of those two movies was this show. And I'm sure if he's been on anything else, I would have blinked and missed him, but yeah, Ernie Reyes Jr.
Kaz and one of his buddies are ransacking an office when a man dressed like a comic book character bursts through the wall. He calls himself the Aggressor. Kaz's friend pulls a knife, but the Aggressor suddenly moves behind him and throws him across the room. Kaz pulls a gun and fires, but the Aggressor deflects the bullets back at Kaz, killing him. The Aggressor speeds away. The next morning, Paige comes home to find Piper eating a strange concoction of a sandwich. Piper thinks she saw Paige briefly show up in the manor earlier that morning. Paige admits that she and Dave were about to have sex in Dave's apartment when she suddenly orbed back to the manor. Fortunately, the lights in the apartment were out, and Paige are back in before he noticed. She thinks it's because she's concerned that if she and Dave get really close, she'll have to tell him she's a witch.
So I love the way that this synopsis is reading the plot. First of all, they weren't about to do it. She was about to finish, okay? At the point of finishing is when she oared back to the house. And so my thing is, how does Dave not notice that he's not, like, fucking somebody and didn't see all right. of those? Or, like, just because the lights are out, that to me would even be a better indication that you see those shiny orbs floating around. I mean, I'm very curious exactly what position they were in for him not to notice.
And that brings a whole nother, like, use to the word ghosting.
Right? Paige, what are you into over there? So, do you usually keep certain facts about yourself from your significant other or someone that you're interested in until a certain point in the relationship? You don't have to tell me what it is, but, like, if you meet somebody, do you wait until a certain time to be like, oh, by the way, I have this, or this is happening, and yada yada?
There's certain things that I talk about right away, and there's certain that, like, I save for the right time. So, like, for example, like, I'm polyamorous. I try to get that out as soon as possible because I don't want it to come back and bite me later if they're not into that. But other things, like, just come up naturally, I think.
That's cool. I particularly, you know, live in LA without a car, and that is, like, not LA. So usually if I meet somebody, I don't tend to tell people that until about the second or third date. And however way I get there, you know, I just kind of keep it to myself. Sometimes they'll ask, oh, where did you park? And then obviously I'm not going to lie and I'll tell them, but I usually don't bring that up right away until I know that I want to see this guy, you know, again. So, but people tend to get really turned off by the fact that you don't drive. So yeah, it's not something that I come up with right away.
So you heard it, guys. If you're on a date with Rob and he says he doesn't drive, he's not into you.
Oh, yeah. If I just come up with it right away. By the way, he's like, oh, that's okay. I can come see you. Oh, fuck.
I love to drive.
Yeah, right.
I really liked the way the aggressor looked. He looks so much like Nightwing to me, and I'm a big Nightwing fan.
Very nice. Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask what you thought of his costume. Big A across his chest.
Mm-hmm. Too bad it's not a big D.
I know, right? No, but that's cool. I'm glad you like that outfit. I was curious what you were going to think of the design in Charmedverse on what superheroes would most likely look like. So suddenly they hear a loud crash. It's Leo, along with an elder. They orbed into the conservatory, and Leo had a rather rough landing. Leo introduces the elder as Ramus. He's due to transfer his powers to a new elder, but the transfer must take place before the end of the night's equinox, and the sisters have to protect him in case a demon takes a run at him. Nobody let Piper in on this, but Leo, Phoebe, and Paige didn't want Piper to worry about any possible demonic attacks. So Piper is visibly frustrated, and in an abandoned hangar, Kevin is upset. He wanted the aggressor to rough up Kaz, not kill him. And Kevin tore up the drawing, but Arnon wants to send the aggressor after Ramus. Arnon says that Ramus is evil, and he wants to kill him and take his powers before he can do any more harm.
What privilege when the made-up comic book character that you drew, you meant for them just to rough somebody up and not kill. Like, I'm not living that life.
The aggressor, it just sounds very deadly. I mean, this isn't, you know, the messer-upper. This is the aggressor. He's going to aggress, and aggress could potentially mean if somebody shoots at the aggressor, he's gonna fire back. That's just how I see it.
I like the messer-upper. I think you should get into the comic books business.
The messer-upper. Yeah, his power is to mess up things.
All right, Phoebe is swamped at work by tons of letters and can't decide whom to help. Piper calls. She thinks Paige is being overprotective, but Phoebe backs Paige up. Piper wants Phoebe to babysit Ramus so she can go audition some DJs at P3. She let Paige handle it, but Paige is back at Dave's place trying to make up for last night. Phoebe finally agrees to head home just as Cole shows up. He tells her about a slumlord, Edward Miller, who is about to evict hundreds of tenants even though he took millions from the city to renovate his properties. Cole can't get an injunction to stop the evictions until tomorrow morning and wants Phoebe to expose him. He wants her to expose him in public? No.
Please, there are ladies present.
Sorry, clue everybody. Clue, it comes everybody. Up sometimes.
Yeah, sorry.
She asks why Cole doesn't just use his powers to turn Ed into a fountain pen, but Cole is determined not to use them after nearly strangling Phoebe to death a week earlier. Phoebe doesn't think she can do anything, but changes her mind after finding out many of Miller's tenants have written her for help.
So notice that Miss Grossman was fired after the season premiere. She is no longer Phoebe's assistant.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
This recurring woman has been showing up since. So I don't know. Maybe Phoebe was just a horrible boss and she quit, or she was fired. One of the two happened. So this is something that I don't think I noticed that often. I took Phoebe as a relationship love advice columnist, not a general advice columnist. Because I'm like, why are tenants who are getting messed up over by a slumlord writing Phoebe about it? I thought she just dealt with relationship advice, but apparently she does general advice. Did you notice that, Sean, or were you the same boat and thought it was only on like relationships and coupling?
I guess I didn't notice the relationship part so much. I figured she was just a reporter. I didn't know she was a specialized reporter, I guess.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So I have to bring this up because I didn't realize, I'm rewatching it as we talk, but I had a problem with Leo's outfit in this episode.
What's wrong with Leo's outfit?
He's got like the sweatshirt like tucked into his jeans, and like he even wore that to the club, and he just looks so like I'm a middle-aged father.
He's trying to look cool, man. He's definitely playing that dad vibe.
Is that what he's doing?
I guess so. Paige and Dave are trying to get it. Wait, I'm sorry. Oh god, this writing, trying to get going. Fuck me. Paige and Dave are trying to get going, aka screw. Dave senses something is wrong, but Paige isn't willing to give details, only saying that things are complicated and she's different from other girls. Dave isn't deterred. They start going at it again. I love how she's like, I don't have a tail or anything. I was like, Jesus, I don't think anybody's thinking about a tail, Paige, but he'd like to know. Piper tells Ramus to let Leo know she's heading to P3, but Ramus refuses. The sisters are supposed to protect him, not Leo. However, Piper lets it be known what she thinks of the elders' numerous rules, and Ramus then drops a surprise. He supported Piper and Leo's marriage in part because he and several others foresaw that they would have a powerful magical child. Okay, so Sean, I don't know if you thought about this, but just think about the whole entire, like, two seasons ago when all of those elders just forbid Leo and Piper to see each other, let alone when they were about to get married, he gets kidnapped. And this whole time, they knew about the kid. So was it like, did they not want them to have the kid? Did they think the kid was going to, like, be more of a problem or nuisance versus being like good to the world? Like, you wonder what came about their decision to keep them apart.
I wonder if it's also like a power thing, because I feel like a lot of times people in power will like enforce their power even if it's not right. Yeah. I'm trying to stay as unpolitical as I can right now, but yeah, I'm talking about someone.
Yeah. by the way, Biden, Harris, 2020, let's go.
Yes, I'm excited.
Let's do this. I cannot believe that happened. Let's do this. Let's do this. Get out there and vote. I am American. Red, white, and blue. Yeah, I'm not that political either, but I'm actually very happy that she was chosen. I think that anybody, hopefully, who isn't too much of a Biden fan would at least be okay with Kamala being involved, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, I never thought about that until now. I wonder how much the baby part was in the decision that they should not be together, you know? So Phoebe walks in, but only for a moment before she confronts Miller. Just then, the aggressor barges in and goes after Ramus. Piper tries to freeze him, but it only slows him down. Phoebe calls for Paige, who orbs in, still wearing a nightie. And Phoebe tries to kick the aggressor, but he shoves her like a rag doll. Leo rushes downstairs amid the commotion and orbs Ramus away.
I think it's funny how, like, they even made sure to give Paige sex hair when she orbs in. Like, they wanted us to know what she was doing.
But that nightie is perfectly, like, pressed. There's no wrinkles in it whatsoever. It's just the hair. So he
right,
must
no
be into
cum
hair
stains,
play.
No nothing.
He's into hair play. That's all it is, you know? Like,
yep. All right. Piper and Paige initially think they were attacked by a demon, but Phoebe realizes he looks more like a comic book character. Leo orbs back in. He's hidden Ramus in the heavens, but he has to get back down in time for the equinox. Paige suspects that the demon of illusion is hiding in a comic book somehow. Phoebe wants to stop Miller, but Paige wants to track down the demon. They talk around Piper, who finally has enough and decides to go with Paige. Arnon nearly strangles Kevin to death and orders him to draw a more powerful aggressor. As Arnon walks away, Kevin starts drawing a woman that closely resembles Phoebe. Phoebe walks in on Miller as he's hustling out tenants. She threatens to expose him, but he blows her off. Just as Phoebe is about to follow him, she turns into a comic book superhero, making Sean correct with what he said this episode is a boot.
All right, so there was a quote in here that Piper said. She goes, he had a big giant A across his chest. How about A? When they were referring to what they should look up under in the book. So that reminded me of PLL, for anyone who doesn't know, Pretty Little Liars. She was the mother of one of our liars who in the show was looking for a person named A. So I just thought that was kind of cool the way that she said it. It just reminded me so much of Pretty Little Liars. So Sean, what did you think about the way that the superhero angle was brought in? You are now aware of the entire plot, why they are turned into superheroes. Do you like this idea?
I think it's a fun episode, and like, I think the way he does it is interesting because I've only seen that power one other time, and that was in Marvel. They had a character named Kid Kaiju who would draw monsters and they'd come alive. So I think it's a power that can be explored more in media because it's definitely fun and not a lot of people use it.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I didn't know if the superhero angle mixed in with the whole witch angle was a good mix. So it sounds like they had a legitimate okay idea for incorporating them.
Yeah, better than those fairy tale people they brought in earlier.
All right, so Piper and Paige are checking out comic book stores when they suddenly turn into superheroes as well. They leap onto a rooftop in a bound. As they're trying to figure out what's going on, they hear a woman being mugged. Piper and Paige rush in. They did the slow motion walk. Into the fire. I'm like, you ain't got time for the slow-mo walk. You got a woman fending for her life right now. I love how they took their time. But the mugger shoots at Piper, and she tries to freeze the bullets and instead catches one in her hand. Spooked, the mugger tries to run away, but Piper zips in front of him and throws him into a dumpster. Phoebe is holding Miller over the edge of the roof by his ankles, and he begs her to let him go, promising not only to let the tenant stay, but to clean up the building. Cole shimmers in and tells her to let Miller go. She doesn't listen and continues to threaten Miller until he agrees to her demands. Cole is worried Phoebe might expose herself, but Phoebe isn't at all worried. She zips away, leaping from building to building. Miller tells his guards to dig up what they can on Phoebe, aka Cole's wife, is how she's referred to. So, Sean, what did you think of our Charmed One superhero outfits?
I think the one I like the most is Paige in her like sexy pink skirt outfit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the one I like the least is Piper. I don't know, something about the silver just doesn't do it for me.
Didn't like the pantsuit?
Not really.
Just wanted to keep him sexualized, showing as much skin as possible. Is that what you right. want for Supergirl? You want her out of the pantsuit too? Is that where we're going?
Women belong in a skirt. I want to see all their legs.
Women belong in a skirt. Oh, God, that line. Okay.
No, I didn't have, just for the record, I didn't have a problem with her being in pants. The pants were fine. Okay. I just didn't like the silver color okay. instigator.
I can't help it. I gotta know. What about the powers that they were given and the effects used for their leaping and fast moving, speeding and such? What did you think about all that?
The powers are cool. The effects are terrible.
Hater. Fair enough, though.
You asked. You set me up, instigator.
No, the sound effects. Because they even did it with the transitions from, you know, from scene to scene. That little... I don't know what that was, but it was just something they were very proud of to use.
Yeah. The sisters zip back to the manor. They're initially overjoyed, especially Phoebe. She's helped dozens of readers. However, Phoebe pulls off her mask and realizes that it's clouding her judgment. Piper takes off her mask and feels the same way, but Paige wants to keep her mask on. I'd like to keep it on, please.
Right?
Just then, the aggressor barges in and knocks Phoebe across the room. He takes a swing at Paige, but she zips out of the way and he smashes his fist through a wall. That would have been a good place for the clock to be.
I know. Don't you miss that clock getting all trashed?
I do. Paige punches him and Piper kicks him down. The aggressor gets back up and rushes at Piper, but Phoebe lands several blows and throws him into the conservatory. A piece of wood breaks off a table and impales him in the chest. To the sister's surprise, the aggressor thanks them and turns into Kevin.
What did you think about this? Now, was this considered a twist for you, or did you always know that Kevin turned himself into the aggressor?
It was a little bit of a twist. I didn't know he was changing himself. I mean, and it makes sense because it seems like he has to have somebody to use it on. But yeah, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I thought because he manifests the tiger out of thin air that he did the same for this aggressor guy. Especially over the fact that he just wanted the aggressor to mess him up, not kill him. So to me, it sounded like he had no control over who he turned into. But just to touch on that little bit of an angle, you see that the mask clouds their judgment. They get a little bit arrogant, maybe not making the best decisions. Do you feel that superheroes do that in the comic book world?
Yeah, I'd say that happens a lot, especially like they explored it a lot in Civil War and Civil War II in the comics. Like, they get so into what they think is right that they don't always look at the bigger picture, I think.
Gotcha. Yeah, I just thought it was an interesting theory, the way they kind of put this whole, like, yes, even though they are the greater good, they sometimes are a little sort of overzealous with their powers and how much they believe they can do. One thing that I did notice, and I don't know if this is shenanigans, Sean, a little bit of a hint to point out that Kevin is the aggressor is the fact that how did he know what the sisters looked like when he drew them?
Oh, you got me wrong.
Look at that. Makes sense. Yeah, right? I mean, I didn't notice it, of course, until I watched it this latest time, but it would make sense now that Kevin is the aggressor because he, you know, had witnessed what the sisters looked like at the time. So there was, I really enjoyed this action sequence that we just had, especially the way that Paige looked when she punched him out. I just liked her aggressive face she gave when she pulled that action, and I enjoyed the sort of flip turn kick that Piper did as well. You know, it just reminded me a lot of what Prue got to do back in the day when she would have enhanced powers. But I really enjoyed this action sequence.
Yeah, it was cool.
So Sean, what would your superhero name be and your power if you had one?
So I've been kind of like muddling this character around in my head, and I think I'd want his powers. I feel like the power of gravity isn't explored that much, like being able to control gravity. Mm-hmm. So I would want to do that, because then I could like make myself like fly in a way, because I could control the density of the gravity around me or like objects around me. And my name would be Gravitas.
Gravitas. Very cool. Question, though, and I haven't looked this up because I didn't want to read spoilers or anything, but I was watching Umbrella Academy Season 2. Are you currently watching that?
Actually, when we were eating dinner just before recording, we got halfway through Episode 3.
Okay, so in the beginning scene, you see everyone sort of showcase their powers during the Doomsday, right? And Diego is on top of a car, and he does a flip onto the ground, which retracts all of the bullets shot at him back at the police or the army, or the, you know, the army, whoever was shooting at him. And this didn't make sense to me because I thought that he had a skill of throwing knives and having them directed any which way he wanted them to go. But from that particular scene, I had to watch it like 3 times to figure out exactly what was happening. And do you think that he controls gravity in a way?
Yeah, I'm wondering, like, do you think it's like a magnetic type power, and that's why he controls knives and bullets?
That could be too. I don't know. It you'll see another form of this towards the end of the season, but it gives me a little pause as to what exactly his power is. I didn't know. So I'll have to like look it up and see, but it kind of reminded me of what you were saying.
Okay.
So my power, and I've always had this character from way back in the day, my power doesn't necessarily match my name, but it just, well, actually, it kind of does. So I have 2 specifics. One is defense and offense. And as far as the offense, it's, you know, the lightning power. I'm always going to incorporate that. I don't, it's just a side thing. I just have it. But the power is significant to my name. My superhero name is Truth. It's just that word, Truth. And I have the ability to force anyone to speak the truth when they hear my voice.
Oh, you don't want to know my truth, girl. Don't use your power on me.
Yeah, so, yeah, anytime you hear the sound of my chords, you are forced to tell the truth no matter what. That comes in definite handy and can be very, very powerful if used the right way. But as an offense, I have lightning power as well. So Leo is initially reluctant to heal Kevin, but the sisters are convinced he was being manipulated. Kevin admits that he turned the sisters into superheroes, the protectors, so they'd have enough power to defeat the aggressor. So Leo was really about to let a kid die.
Yeah.
Did you think he was going to die before sort of the cut back into the show?
For this show, no, I figured that he was going to be healed.
Okay, all right. So Leo says that Kevin is a powerful witch as well, which I think is awesome. We feature another male witch on the show with the power of thought projection. He originally created the aggressor because he was tired of being picked on all the time. Soon after he first drew the aggressor, he met Arnon, who claimed he could help focus his powers. The elders want Leo to bring Remus back down, but the sisters fear Arnon could kill him. Kevin offers to follow Arnon back to his hideout, and the sisters think it's too dangerous, but Kevin says that they'll be more than a match for Arnon, drawing them with better powers.
Leo has brought Remus back. To Leo's surprise, Remus says that it's actually his time to die. He does grant Leo one peek at the future. Leo asks if his baby will be alright, and Remus tells him that she'll be more powerful than even he and Piper can imagine. Kevin slips into Arnon's lair, promising to yell when he sees Arnon. Paige can't listen in due to airplanes flying overhead. Arnon has found out Kevin turned the sisters into superheroes. The sisters think Kevin's been in there too long and head inside. Unknown to the sisters, Miller is videotaping them. Even though the effects are really bad and everybody's going to call them on just fast forwarding the tape.
Exactly. Didn't it just look like they just fast forwarded the tape?
Yeah.
It could be so altered, but I get it. I get it. So the conversation between Leo and Remus I thought was very entertaining. Remus seems like a very laid-back elder. He clearly is different from the ones that we've known about so far. And he also gives this indication that, you know, not everybody thinks the same, including the fact that just because you're an angel doesn't mean you can't kick some ass from now and then, you know? Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that line and the fact that there are elders up there that are rooting for Leo and Piper, but also the sisters as well. Would you like to see more of Leo being more integrated into the action of the show, being more, you know, I guess for a better word, aggressive and not so much of as a pacifist, or would it be a complete sort of opposite of his character?
After seeing the action scene with Paige and her, like, orbing to save Piper, like, that was a pretty cool scene. So seeing that, I'd say, yeah, I want to see Leo get more in on the action because he's got powers, and it makes sense that if he's protecting the most powerful witches on Earth that he would be using them as he's doing it.
Gotcha. So, I don't know if you noticed this, Sean, but Kevin's drawing of the sisters, did you notice how bulky and She-Hulk they looked?
Yeah, I just got past that part. Yeah, they were all, like, ripped and muscly, and it was a cool picture, though.
I am surprised they didn't incorporate that into them turning, but I get it. But, yeah, I didn't notice that before. They were a lot bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So the sisters find Kevin unconscious and another aggressor drawing. At that moment, the aggressor rushes in and rips the drawing of the sisters in half, turning them back to normal. Before the sisters can fight back, the aggressor violently throws them through the wall. Kevin comes out just as the sisters come to, and Kevin tells them that Arnon made him turn him into the most powerful aggressor yet, and now is after Remus. That reminded me of Jafar. Like, I want to be the best sorcerer. Then I want to be the best genie. Then I want to be... He just keeps going.
Yeah. Little itty living space.
Right? So Kevin wants to turn the sisters into superheroes again, but the sisters think it'll take too long. Piper suggests intercepting Arnon at the manor. And so Leo and Remus are waiting in the living room. Leo is very worried about the sisters, but Remus tells him that they'll be too late in any event. The aggressor barges in and sends Leo flying into the dining room. He then turns to Remus and takes his powers. This was very Obi-Wan.
Oh, yeah. I got that vibe, too, the way he just was like, go ahead and kill me. And
yeah.
Even the way it happened was very similar.
The sisters and Kevin orb in. Paige orbs the aggressor's boot off of his feet. No, the left boot. And rips the drawing. The aggressor turns back into Arnon, and before he can react, Piper blows him up. Remus's powers flow into Kevin, who becomes the newest elder. Sean, did you ever think at any point in the episode that Kevin was the one that was going to be the new elder?
No, I just thought he was going to be just another witch. But yeah, making him an elder, a future elder, that was kind of a cool twist.
Yeah. The sisters are very surprised, and they didn't think an elder could be that young.
At P3, Paige and Dave run into Piper and Leo making out. Piper plans to slow down for the rest of the pregnancy. Paige was finally able to have sex with Dave, but wants to make sure she can trust him before telling him she's a witch. Phoebe walks in. Cole phoned her with a word that Miller knows about her powers. Miller demands $50,000 a month from Cole in return for his silence. Cole warns Miller that he has powers as well. Miller scoffs and heads off to sell the tape, but Cole sends him up in flames. Phoebe arrives and questions Cole, where is Miller? Cole did not directly say what happened, but Phoebe realized Cole might have already killed Miller, as he explains it is to protect her secret. However, far from being impressed, Phoebe is horrified and runs to the elevator.
So, two things here. Back at P3, I love the fact that we are reminded that Paige does not drink, as Dave asked her if she wanted steel or sparkling.
Yeah, that is good continuity.
Love this ending. To such a lighthearted, fun, action-y episode, we're given this very creepy and scared moment, especially from Phoebe, realizing that Cole is just really just the same guy we've all known. And Sean, what do you think of Cole's sudden decision and how easy it was for him to just kill Miller like that?
Yeah, I really like this scene because it really is a good indicator of where Cole is mentally. Like, basically, he's still prepared to do anything for Phoebe, but he's not realizing the balance between having these powers and the responsibility of how to use them. So I like that we finally get to see that he's crossed the line and Phoebe knows it. So it really gives me that indication of where we're going with the story.
Very good. And that wraps up Witches in Tights. Sean, what did you think of episode 5?
I like this one. This was a fun one. It felt like an episode that would be, you know, a little later in the series because it didn't have any like heavy story. But I like having these fun episodes that are different because we get to see all the different faces of Charmed.
Very good.
So it's worth the wait, Rob.
Yay, worth the wait. That's 2-2, 2-2. Okay, very good. Yeah, this is, again, another example of just sort of the magical world that surrounds San Francisco and the Charmed Ones. We are going to be introduced to a lot of things that are happening without the sisters knowing and having them sort of being integrated into their drama. So, good. I'm glad you liked this one. So some notes from this episode, there was a lot of interesting facts from this one. So an alternate title for this episode that the WB used in promotional commercials was Magic Wears a Mask. Dave's apartment is the same one used in Dream Sorcerer and The Witch is Back. By the way,
that's
Sean.
That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, what did you think of Dave? Do you prefer him over Glenn so far, or are we still team Glenn?
I'm more invested in Glenn still for a few reasons. I think Glenn is better looking, but also the fact that he's already kind of been through the ringer with Paige. He already knows her witchy secret, so we already have more established between them.
Okay, fair enough. It is nice to see her being into somebody up to this point, though, correct?
Yeah, I like seeing her, like, getting with different guys. I think that's a good message, and I think it's who her character is, so I'm here for it.
So Piper, as a superheroine, she moves with super speed, making this the second time she was able to demonstrate this ability. The first time was in Awaken, and this is when she was given that zest for life again from that poisonous fruit that she got, and they cast a spell, and then because she was brought back to life, she was accelerated with all that energy. I don't know if you remember that.
Not really.
Not really? No, it's okay. It was very quick. So although the elders were previously seen and blinded by the white lighter, their hoods were up and their faces were never shown. Thus, this episode marks the first time that we have saw an elder be fully seen. So in the WB's official trailer for this episode, one clip isn't used that was in the trailer, and Paige lifts a car.
That's so weird. Like, I feel like that would be a money scene, and not to use it, that's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know the significance as to why she was lifting the car. If anything, it was to test her powers, but they apparently took that scene out. At the start of the episode, Alyssa Milano is wearing the very red dress that she wore for her promotional pictures of the season. So if you were to look at the DVD cover of season 5, the dress that she's wearing in that is the one she wore in the beginning of the episode.
Nice.
The aggressor is portrayed by Todd Tucker, who portrayed various creatures across the series and is responsible for many special effects and costumes. So, all the effects that you see, it's because of him.
So I can blame him.
Yeah. The title of the episode is a play on words, of course, of Robin Hood's film Men in Tights. And Craig Young, a.k.a. Dave, was also in a show called Spider Games on MTV. This was my fucking show. Sean, do you know of Spider Games at all?
I does not.
You do not. So it came on around the same time Undressed did. And I know there are people out there who know what Undressed is, but it was a scripted show. Spider Games was about a family who made their riches off computer games. And either the latest game was called Spider Games or their family name is Spider, S-P-Y-D-E-R. It was so good. It was like a literal soap opera for MTV. And all of the cliche stuff that you can think of to be in a soap opera happened in here. They even had a gay storyline where this couple was getting married, and the guy was obviously gay, and they had never had sex before because they wanted to wait until marriage. On their honeymoon, the man literally got disgusted. He threw up, and the woman went crazy, like literally went psychotic because she blamed herself for not being woman enough for him, and she really took it hard. It was some heavy shit, this show.
Oh no.
But I really enjoyed Spider Games. So apparently he was on there and I had no idea.
I'll have you know, I used to watch Undressed. I love that show.
Undressed is everything. God, the show is so good. I wish they would put those on DVD.
All right, Charmies, I have some unfortunate news, but I fixed it. Witch, the app that I keep it in, everything got deleted. So I went ahead and put it together with some fresh scenarios and some new witches. And it's time to play Witch Rob for the first time in season 5.
Very good. Yes, I'm excited for Witch.
All right, so I give that disclaimer, though. I had to rebuild it from scratch. So if there's somebody that I added back in that was already used or a scenario that was used, I'm sorry, I did my best. All right, so Witch is the game in which Rob and I get assigned a random witch. It's a witch assigned by the spin of a wheel. And then we have to argue, based on a scenario that's chosen at random, which witch would be better for that scenario and why.
So we each get 30 seconds to plead our case, and then on our following episode, we will announce the winner based on a spotlight Charmy who will come in, answer some questions on their relationship with Charmed, and also pick which one of us had the better argument.
All right, Rob, who am I spinning for first?
You.
All right, here goes. It's spinning. Samantha Stevens.
Ooh, Samantha Stevens, okay.
From Bewitched.
All right.
All right. And for you, Dolores Umbridge.
Dolores Umbridge. Is that that pink hoe?
That's that pink hoe.
Okay. I don't know
from
her
Harry
very...
Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
I don't know her very well, but I will do my best. Please let it be who's a raging bitch.
Okay, let's spin the scenario to see what we're arguing. You're gonna like this one. Who would have a better island on Animal Crossing?
Oh my god. Okay, let me think about this.
Okay, one, two, three, go.
So Dolores Umbridge is a very tidy, organized, very precise woman. If anybody remembers from the movie, in her office, she had the whole theme locked down. Her island would be precise, like very like nice and organized. It would just look great, and it would fit her character perfectly. So I feel with her discipline, she would definitely have a better island than Samantha Stevens. I'll end it at that.
Okay, that was just about 30 seconds. You're good.
Okay.
Samantha Stevens is a house mom, so she's always home. She is the decorator. She's the cleaner. She's everything, and she's got time, and she's got the eye for it. So as much as her house is pristine, she's going to have a pristine, well-laid-out island, well-thought-out. Plus, she's creative. Like, everything she does for her baby and everything she does for Darren, she is going to have a gorgeous island, and she's going to bring in her past of being a witch. I wanted to end there anyway.
Very good argument, Sean. Okay, so Sean and I will do our job on finding a Charmy to be the judge for this debate of witch, and then we will find out a little bit about our listener and announce a winner. All right, now it is time to judge some men in tights. It's time for Hot Man Meter.
Yes!
I can make you a man!
All right, so Sean, we have Ramus, our elder, played by Gary Becker. Does this daddy make your top 10 list?
He's not a bad-looking guy, but I'm not going to put him on my list, though.
All right. Well, I am a huge fan. I love the silver beard. It is just enough scruff without being full beard. I loved his zest for life and fun attitude. He is going on my list. This is the type of daddy that I like. So he is going right above the TV reporter, but under Daryl, making him number 3.
Nice.
Yep. Then we have our pre-Crowley, Arnon, played by Mark A. Shepard. Does Arnon make your list this week?
He's definitely a looker, but I'm going to save him on my list, Rob.
All right. I am going to pass on him as well. I actually prefer the Crowley look. All right, so what about Edward Miller? This is our slumlord, played by David Pressman. Does this janky, baggy-wearing suit man make your top 10 list?
He is all the things that I don't like about the 90s, early 2000s. So no, he does not.
I am so not a fan of this man. So sorry, Edward Miller. How about our Nirvana wannabe Dave, played by Craig Young?
You know, even though I've made it clear before I don't love long hair on guys, I don't think it looks bad on him, but I don't like him enough to put him on my list.
The accent didn't do it for you?
Nope.
No? Okay. Well, so he actually would have been on my list had he had a little bit more hair on him anywhere. I would have taken it anywhere, but the chest, the face, everything was bare. I can't. So I'm going to pass on him being on the hot meter. How about Kaz, the one you completely didn't pay attention to, played by Ernie Reyes Jr.? I know he makes your list.
I think the fact that I didn't even pay attention to him says it all.
No, that's fair. I want to say that if he still works out, he should have body under them clothes. So he would make my list, but unfortunately, I'm not going to pick him for this one. I actually preferred him with longer hair. Then we have our Nightwing lookalike, the aggressor, played by Todd Tucker. Does the man who made shitty effects for this episode make your top 10 list, Sean?
Well, when you put it like that. You know what? I couldn't see his face, but You know what? I'm going to add him because I liked his hair and I liked his body yaddy.
Alrighty. Where does he go?
Okay, so he'll go after The Apprentice.
All right, so he is the sixth man on your list. And Brian Krause, Leah White, is still your number one.
Yum, yum.
All right.
You better watch out, though, wearing outfits like today.
No, he was very impressive in that first episode, so he's lucky. All right, well, that's going to do it for Hot Man Meter. Now, let's pick an MVP. Who is MVP of the week? You're sampling
the best. I'm going to give it to Kevin, actually, because having all that power and being able to still, like, use it responsibly, but just the fact that he was so picked on by Arnon and he kept his cool and he made a plan to get out of it, like, I give him mad props for that.
He was a very confident boy, better than that other one that we had in season two, who was scared to do anything. Definitely. I got to give him props for that, too. However, Ramis is going to be my MVP. This was a very delightful way to show that elders are not all stuck up like we're used to, but also the fact of his sheer moments of just accepting his fate. He can't change it. He knows he's going to die, and he does it with a smile on his face and still giving wise words to Leo. I just think he shined and was a scene stealer when he was on, so he gets MVP for me. All right, so that's going to do it for our episode. Next week on Charmed, the eyes have it.
Are there any tricky spellings I should know about?
No, it is exactly how it says, the eyes have it.
Okay, so I'm guessing it has something to do with eyes, so I'm going to say maybe we get to see something with Phoebe's power again, like her having visions, or maybe we see something with other people having visions.
Okay, interesting theory. So Sean will find out next week. We are returning with another episode. Sean, you are going to have the cameo of a lifetime. A horror icon is going to pop up in this episode.
Wow.
And for you Charmies, we actually have a guest coming on the show. The first time for season 5. We're going to welcome somebody to help us tell the recap. He actually chose this episode, so that should be fun to invite a guest back since season 4. So definitely tune in next week for an all-new episode of Brunch with the Hollowells. Thank you all so much for listening to us. We really appreciate it. We hope you enjoy the rest of your Sunday brunch and tell a friend of our show. If they don't know about the Charmed podcast, let them know. We are here to relive those great moments for them. Sean, say goodbye to the folks.
Bye to the folks.
Seduced by the sea, cloaked in super leather. Now the Charmed Ones forge an unlikely alliance.
You are not sure if you're a believer.
With the gypsies.
No, I'm a believer.
An all-new Charmed.